This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dave, for the introduction. And we are back at in the Christian War Room, and we are talking about a subject which is close to my heart in a way, and I think it should really be close to the heart of every Christian. And the subject is, last week we were talking about hell and the deception that there is no hell, and people just having the completely wrong concept. They think, you know, it's okay, they can just live a life and everything will be hunky-dory, but it's not really the case. So that's what we were looking at last week. Now, this week we're looking at heaven. And just to get you back on track, about 85% of Americans, one statistic suggests, how true they are is a different question, might be less, might be more. But they think that at the end of their lives, they're going to end up in heaven. Okay, now, if you know anything about statistics in America, you know that not even 85% of the population are Christian or would consider themselves Christian. A lot less regularly go to church. The evangelical sector is quite high compared to other parts of the world, but it's still very, very low in comparison. Certainly not 85%. So where does all this come from, and what, you know, what are we dealing with here? Okay. So what we're going to do and what we're going to look at in heaven, today I just want to look at a bunch of scriptures. We've looked at a few scriptures in the last two talks, and I want to sort of tell you what the Bible really says about heaven. And the shocking thing is it's not too much. We've got a couple of descriptions of heaven, and we've got a sneak peek into heaven, but we don't really know what exactly it looks like, and maybe for a good reason as well. Number one, it might be a surprise, you know, that you'll be totally blown out of your mind. Number two, it's a bit like if you're an Eskimo and you live in the desert country of Greenland or North Canada, and you've never seen a tree or the diversity or the variety of tropical plants. It's very hard to describe, really. Because all you know in your life is just snow, a pretty bleak landscape, maybe the odd tree or so, but not big forests, and you know, fishing, probably an awful lot about fishing. I think Eskimos, they've got about 10 words for snow, yeah? I mean, over here it's just snow, and then I think we've got powder snow and, you know, wet snow and a couple of other terms. And if you're lucky, we get about, but it's all snow, yeah? So it's just a descriptive term in snow. But in Eskimo language, in the native Inuit, I understand there are, I think, a dozen or 10 or something or 8, but it's a big number for the term snow, yeah? So they know snow very well, and they know all different types of snow, and they know how to survive in snow and what to do with snow, surely a lot more than what I will ever know in my life. But they know nothing about surviving in the tropics and being careful with certain snakes and spiders. They will know how to protect yourself from a polar bear, but maybe not how to protect yourself from a snake or a scorpion or something, because they don't exist up there. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is it's probably very hard for us to understand what heaven is really like. All we know is that it must be a fantastic place, and we've got scriptures to that extent as well. And then the other thing is, even if it were not a fantastic place, one place you don't want to end up, and we looked about this last week, and that is hell. You do not want to end up in hell. Do not go to hell. That is a place of torment, a place of pain, which is indescribable. We had a testimony of Bill Weiser, or Bill Weiss, or Weiss, I'm not quite sure I pronounce it in English. It's a German name. And anyway, the guy had a vision of heaven, and he said that the pain was amplified huge amount to anything he ever experienced here on earth. And it's just like a place of utter and horrible torment. And what can I say? I mean, the worst pain I ever experienced had a dislocated shoulder with they did an operation on the sinews, and and so they were shortened. The shoulder came out nevertheless, and I was in pain that sweat shot out of my pores. And it was just indescribable. I couldn't do anything. I was totally paralyzed. Paralyzed by pain. Absolutely horrendous. And again, I never experienced anything like it. And you may be in the same boat that you have experienced this. I had a kidney stone. And when the kidney stone went from the kidney into the, I think it's called the urethra, the pain was just phenomenal. I never experienced anything like, I thought I was dying, literally. And I couldn't do anything. I couldn't move. I was just crouching, and it was just horrendous pain. No, hell must be worse than that. Yeah. From the reports you hear of people who have had a taste of hell and came back through an NDE experience or through a vision or something like that. Anyway, we are talking about heaven, and heaven is the other place. So we've got one extreme, which is extreme pain and extreme horror, and then we've got the other place, which is extreme extreme comfort, extreme love, extreme, you know, being cared for. And that's certainly something we should invest in, and we should be looking forward to. Okay, the scripture, this is interesting as well. When Jesus is talking, he talks more about hell and avoiding it, and the horrors of hell, than about heaven. And again, my analysis of the whole thing is, and that's just me talking, I may be right, I may be wrong, I think even if you had the best description about hell, and even if you had the best, you know, the best text describing it, it wouldn't come anywhere near it, because you could not imagine what it's like. Okay, I'm going to make one more point, and then we'll sort of scan through some of the scriptures I've got here. And that point is that a lot of people have had NDEs. They claim they've had an experience of heaven. And again, a lot of people, let me see, I think I've got some text down here, whether I made some notes here, and then I'll just go through those. But a lot of people, they claim they've had some NDEs, and and we don't know, yeah. We don't know whether these testimonies are true. There are some people who make big money with heaven stories because people are interested, and if you come along and you write a book about heaven, people are going to buy it, and you're probably going to make millions. And there's one guy, one story I know of a father whose boy was in hospital and died. And he claimed to have a heaven experience, and he talked about it. And the father wrote a book, or his father wrote a book and published it and made big, you know, a lot of money on it. And later they recanted the story. Whether the recantation is real or not, again, is a different, maybe they didn't like the publicity, maybe they didn't want to be known as Heaven Boy or whatever. But the story was recanted and never really got into the mainstream anymore, and you don't hear about him. I'm going to try and avoid mentioning names in case I get some stories wrong, but it was quite publicized, and I've seen this boy and his father on a lot of TV shows, and I think Sid Roth, he did some stuff on him, and and a lot of others as well. Okay, and the big question is, are they the real McCoy? Where are the fakes? You know, where people deliberately are deceitful for monetary purposes. And there's big money in it. You write a book. And I tell you one thing. A couple of years ago, and every now and then, I've got an interest in that stuff. And I spent a lot of time just reading reports, watching reports, and seeing what people have to say about near-death experiences and heaven. I think, actually, it was about 4 or 5 years ago when I did this. And I remember I was talking with a friend about it, and it was actually quite interesting, and some research that's been done in this area with people who have died and were, you know, called back through through resuscitation. And I've heard enough that I could probably sit down and write a book and you know, have my own fake heaven experience. Obviously, I'm not going to do it. I don't intend to do it. And this stuff is too holy for me to even contemplate going in this direction. But, you know, if somebody else does it and they have got a skill of writing, it's not that hard to do. And you could just write it all down and people get fascinated about this stuff. Yeah. Then we've got the dreamers as well. And I've seen a lot of them as well. You find YouTube is full of them. You find people who have got rapture dates. Or timelines, or when it's going to happen, and they have got some prophetic vision and so on. And I don't doubt their sincerity, but I think sometimes the cheese sandwich at night maybe, you know, gave rise to a lot of visions and a lot of occupation in the people's mind, and it's not necessarily from God, it's not from the Spirit of God. I wouldn't even go as far and say it's demonic, but it might just be, you know, because you're so wrapped up in the whole thing that your mind plays tricks on you. Jeremiah, is it chapter 17? Sorry for the coughing, I'm still at the back end of a flu. I've had it for 4 weeks now. Anyway, Jeremiah 17, I think, and it talks in there that the heart is treacherous beyond all things. It's deceitful beyond all things. And sometimes people, just getting a drink here, sometimes people, they place too much trust in their heart. And they get deceived, you know, by themselves. And it may not, you know, be anything, there was no bad intention in it. They don't want publicity or anything like that. They genuinely believe they've got a vision, a prophetic word from God. And they just publicize it, you know, to warn other people. So it's just the goodness of their heart, but something goes wrong. Then there's also the Jonah effect, where there may be, you know, in the heavenlies, everybody's getting ready, but God is saying, you know, one more day before the rapture takes place. Yeah, one more day because of, you know, he loves all people and he's calling people and he wants to make sure that everybody, you know, who has got a chance of coming into the kingdom is given this chance before the period of the wrath of God starts, that he can, you know, take everybody out, you know, who is loved by God and who loves God in return as well. So, and then we've got the deceived people as well, you know, about all the heaven visions. I mean, one thing which kind of struck me, there are a lot of big names, you know, big TV evangelists, TV preachers, big TV charismatic preachers, you know, who've got all the answers. They fly around in big jets. One of the guys has even got his own airport. They live in haciendas. They live like kings. And yet, sort of, when you look at the fruits of what they're doing, and this is what Jesus told us in Matthew 24, look at their fruits. Look at their fruits. You know, there are lots of false prophets who come in there. There are lots of false teachers, but you can recognize them by their fruits. Look at their fruits, you know. Listen to what some of the employees have to say who work for these ministries, and you get to know what their fruits are. And I would you know, stand on Matthew 24 where Jesus is warning us and say, you know, beware of these people. There's a good chance that they are not just deceived, but that they are placed by the enemy, that they are false. Yeah. Anyways, a lot of these guys, they come up with a heaven testimony, that they've been there judging, you know. And again, we are called to judge upon this, you know, when people come across. And you should judge me as well. You know? I mean, obviously, you don't know my life, but you should judge me. Yeah, you know? Anything I say, you should judge it against the word of God and then come to your own conclusion. And if you see that I'm saying something wrong, And in your perception, I'm your brother in Christ. You should tell me and warn me. And maybe there is something wrong. And if, you know, if I've said something wrong, I'm ready. I'm ready for correction. And obviously, I've got disagreements with some people. I had some disagreements about the Sabbath and the Sunday. You know, with the Day of the Lord or the importance. I stand on where Paul says in the letter to the Romans. To some people, you know, every day is wholly alike, and some people set one day more apart than the other. But whatever you believe, you know, be firm in your heart, but do not destroy your brother. Pretty much that's the message that's in there. You know, I shouldn't challenge somebody or make a big fuss about it. So if you think the Sabbath is okay or the Sunday is okay, you know, who cares? Yeah. We are not under the law, and Romans has got a very clear view on it. And in certain societies, you cannot keep the Sabbath if you are, you know, somewhere at the bottom rung of society and you are a worker. You cannot just say, right, I walk out of here because Saudi Arabia, it's not even the Sunday or the Saturday. It's a Friday they take off. Yeah? And so you're forced, if you are a Christian, and maybe, you know, you cannot be an open Christian anyway because you will be dead the next day. So if you are forced to keep another day. But anyway, that's another subject. But what I'm saying is we need to judge one another to see what people say. And it's the same as well with these, you know, all these big preachers and pretty much every big name on the TV evangelist circle, sort of when I'm scanning then, they've had their own heaven experience. They've been up in heaven and they came down and they've seen, like Paul, they've seen lots of things and they tell everybody. And that is, in my opinion, probably something they use to protect their status. So we need to be careful when we listen to these testimonies and maybe, you know, genuinely ask the question, what is their motivation of telling us that they've been to heaven? Is it, you know, that they just want to share some insights with us? Or is it that they want to sell a book and they need to make the next million? Or is it, you know, a stated thing? So they are some big high-rise leader, you know, the leader of leaders, and they need something to elevate themselves above the rest. So really ask yourself this question. Again, a lot of people I've seen, there's no financial interest behind it, you know, about the heaven testimony. They seem to come across fairly genuine, and a lot of them, this is quite interesting as well, a lot of people where you've got these seven testimonies, you know, of people who have been and who have come back, there's a lot of agreement between them. And again, when you then take the measure of the Bible and to look at the few scriptures which we have in the Bible, they don't seem to contradict. And so I think it's a matter of, you know, just praying about it and accepting whatever these people say in your spirit and maybe, you know, gain a little bit more understanding of what heaven is like. Now, my friends, it's not a bad idea. And again, the devil tries to focus our mind here on earthly things, you know, and a lot of preachers do the same thing. And it's this Laodicea spirit where we are encouraged to get fat, lazy, and, you know, to get rich here on earth and to, you know, live with all the riches. And that is typically the prosperity gospel. And that is where it encourages you to go. Now, we shouldn't get fat and rich. We should get, is it sleek, like thin, you know, and busy about the Lord's business, you know, whatever calling God has placed upon our lives. But, my friends, it helps when you've got the view of heaven because we have got so much stuff to deal with in this world. And this world is not an easy place to be as a godless person. But also if you are a Christian, even though you've got hope, even though you've got the divine factor in your life, you know, to coach you through life, you've got God as your refuge, you know, here on earth where you can just call upon the name of Jesus. You can call upon God and you will get peace in your heart. You will get direction and you will know which step to take. And you get supernatural intervention as well in so many areas that you can just cope with all the stuff that's thrown at us so that we are not despairing. We don't need to despair because we've got God on our side. Still, very often we do despair and we struggle, which is normal. But when we look at a heavenly perspective and we've got an idea of what's going on in heaven and we throw ourselves upon the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, then it truly makes life a lot easier because we know that we have got a future and we know that we are eternal beings and this is not everything. Yeah. So it's very, very important to have a heavenly perspective. There's this proverb, and I heard this sort of 20-odd years ago, that some people are too earthly-minded to be of any heavenly use, and some people are too heavenly-minded to be of any earthly use. Let me repeat this. Some people are too earthly-minded to be of any heavenly use, and some people are too heavenly-minded to be of any earthly use. Yeah. Basically, it says, you know, keep your balance between, you know, this dimension and the next dimension. you know, to be not totally freaked out or totally living in another dimension. But I think it's important. I think it's really, really important to get this viewpoint in Hebrews 13:14, I think it says, that we do not have a remaining abode here, but we are looking for the one to come. And I always used to say, as a young man, I was sort of moving around a lot, and I never felt at home anywhere, and I still don't, And I think, you know, if it's a good thing as well, because we don't belong here. Yeah, our passport is not from here. I'm living as a foreigner in a foreign country. And I know what it means to be a foreigner, to, you know, you speak the same language, you live in the same culture, you embrace the same culture, but you're never one of them. Yeah. And it gets worse as well. When I go back to Germany, I don't speak German very well anymore because I don't speak it very often. And so when I speak German, I've got a slight accent and people think I'm a foreigner there as well. And I'm never one of them either. Yeah. It's really, really bizarre. So suddenly you find yourself in a situation that you don't belong anywhere, really. And the only place you really belong to is just the kingdom of God. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Okay, so that's the main thing. You need to have a good awareness of heaven. You need to know where you belong. And you need to know where you are heading for. And it's a lot easier as well if you sort of live with the, with this mentality of, I want to invest into heaven. Yeah, we invest into our pension fund, yeah, which is, you know, it's good and it's responsible. We invest in our children. We invest in people. Yeah, we invest maybe in business and shares or whatever. Yeah, and I'm not sort of knocking it. And there's an element to it where this is important, you know, to put some money aside for a rainy day and something like that. But do this prayerfully as well. You know, you don't want to waste your money. And on the other side, you want to invest it in the right place as well. So, there's an aspect where we can invest into heaven, where Jesus encourages us to invest into heaven, to store our treasures up in heaven and not here. And it makes sense as well. Heaven is eternal. This is temporary. We don't even know how long we're going to be here. I mean, I'm now talking in March 2018, I'm of the firm conviction that the rapture is going to come soon, and that that maybe when you listen to this talk, it may even be after the rapture. And if you listen to this talk after the rapture, I don't know, it could be 10 years. The Bible seems to suggest that when the Antichrist comes and he confirms a treaty with the people of Israel, you've got the 7-year countdown, and Jesus says that if he didn't come any earlier, there would be nobody left. So we don't know. It's going to be less than 7 years. Yeah, that's from that point. And there's a clock clicking. So if you hear this and you've missed the rapture and you are living under the time of the wrath of God, know that you should throw yourself upon the side of God. You know, you shouldn't listen to the leaders you are exposed to then, but you should listen to the Word of God. You should embrace the Bible, read it, and throw yourself upon the mercy of God. One thing you can be certain, that even though darkness will have covered the earth and it's just a very dark period in the history of mankind, possibly the darkest period ever, I'm not quite sure what it was like in the days of Noah, and I believe it was pretty grim from the information we can glean, but even then you can look forward to heaven. We know that there will be big persecutions, that all the saints, that all those, you know, who carry the testimony of Jesus Christ, who follow him, will be persecuted, and they will try to kill you, and they will have technology at their hands and at their disposal to locate you, to find out where you are, to track you down, which is unheard of in any generation before us. Maybe they had some similar stuff in the days of Noah, I don't know, but from Noah till today, there was nothing. There's nothing like that. And then it's important to just know that your home is heaven, yeah? And to not allow the devil or and his minions to try and deceive you to think that this, what we have got here on earth, is all. It isn't. It's just a very short period of time. And as I said before, I don't even know how long this time is going to carry on. I know one thing, and that is that the return of Christ is imminent. It's obviously is more imminent than what it's ever been before. We're getting closer to it. Nobody knows the day, the hour, but we know the season and the timing. And when I look at the season and in the war room, we will need to do some end time talks as well to just look at all the different things which are there. And we need to carry this into this world to let people know, you know, that the time is over. The clocks run up and Jesus is coming back to take his own home. So make up your mind and follow Christ. It's very, very important. And again, we need to fight this deception which is there to keep us away from being heavenly minded and also keep us away from realizing that the time is short and that Jesus is coming back soon and that we need to be, number one, busy, not chasing money and the prosperity gospel, but we need to be busy chasing souls. And reaching out to people and giving them access to the Word of God, letting them know that there is a God, that Jesus is calling out to them. That's number one. Number two is we need to be prepared as well in our lives. We need to make sure we're living in a time which is so full of deception. We need to make sure that we are not being deceived. And we've got the promise as we throw ourselves upon the side of God that God is going to give us discernment. He's going to give us understanding. And he will lead us into a righteous path. He will lead us on the narrow way. And on this way, which is not an easy one, but on this way we can find peace and tranquility in Christ, even though the world around us is going down in big ways, in big ways. Okay, we are coming to the end. I wanted to give you all the scriptures. We're going to do this in the next talk. I've got how many pages? About 20 pages, say 4 pages of scriptures I copy and paste it in a Word document, which all talk a little bit about heaven, and it gives us a rough idea of what is there. Okay, let me sum it up, you know. Not 85% of the Americans will go to heaven. That's, I think, is pretty safe to say. Jesus said that, only few will find the narrow way. Only few will find it. And 85% is not few, so that's one thing. We need to let people know there is a reality of hell and the need to repent in order to make sure to firm up the heaven. It's not good enough to say, I'm a good average person, I don't kill anybody, I don't do anything nasty. There's still sin in your life that needs to be dealt with. And you need to deal with this. You need to surrender this sin to Christ. And only perfect people will make it to heaven. And none of us is perfect, but we are being made perfect. It sounds very complex. Huh? Basically, Jesus is going to take our imperfection away through his sacrifice on the cross, all of it. And so when you present yourself, when he will present yourself before the ultimate judge, he will just say that your name is written in the book of life, that all your sin is being atoned for by what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And because you believed him, and therefore, you will be set free. Lord, we want to praise you for heaven. We want to thank you for heaven. I pray, Lord, that all our listeners and myself, that you will make us more heavenly minded. Help us to make clear investments into heaven, to store up our treasures in heaven, to be generous to the people here on earth, to help the poor and to help those who need help, but also to spend our time and the stuff we have, heaven bound. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord, and give us a clear direction. In finding the right balance and in being focused on what you have set in front of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.